someone, this is a hindrance. If you're angry at, if you're angry, it gets in the way of your practice. So cultivating loving kindness is it's a very useful support in meditation to help us to overcome these strong anger towards people, towards individuals. But on a deeper level, there's a deeper level, it's much more about just being objective. How do you really get rid of aversion to anything? You give up the judgment when you no longer judge the experiences, whether they be pleasant or unpleasant, and there doesn't arise liking or disliking. Anyway, this is a conventional sort of teaching. So the talk about cultivating metta is, it's useful. It's good for us to remember as beings, as human beings, but as insight, as meditators, we go deeper than this sutta teaches. And if you read the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha says, when you're angry, just know that you're angry. How do you deal with anger? Know that you're angry. Know that anger has arisen. That's it. When you have greed, lust, know that lust has arisen. You can be objective about these things, even the bad things. Then you retrain the habit of reacting. Rather than reacting, you just experience objectively. That's the second hindrance. The third hindrance is tinamidha. Tinamidha. This is often translated as sloth and torpor. Bhikkhu Bodhi says dullness and drowsiness. So he translates tina and midha. Tina midha is the mind that is sluggish. It's this dull, or not dull, but unwieldy state of mind. When the mind has a strong focus on things. See, the cause, the one dhamma that causes drowsiness, or whatever we're going to translate this as, is cetaso linatang. Linata is an interesting word. Comes from the verb liyati. Liyati. Liyati means to stick, to cling. So the mind, cetaso linatang, is the mental stickiness, not stickiness, but being stuck mentally, right? When your mind is unwieldy, in the sense that it isn't flexible, it isn't sharp, it isn't strong, it isn't wieldy, it's slow to move, sluggish, right? You can see this best when you begin to practice a meditation. You try to focus on the stomach rising and falling, and your mind quickly slips back into its state of dullness, its torpor, its sort of a dream state. And you come back and you try again, and then your mind slips off thinking or whatever. You feel it in the difficulty involved in keeping the mind again and again noting. To keep the mind coming back to the present moment requires what is the cure for tina midha, which is arada virya. Arada means like initiative. Virya means effort. Arada virya means effort and initiative, initiative-based effort. You know, the effort to do, to get up and go. In this case, to bring the mind back again to the object. You don't have to work. See, people misunderstand with effort that they should somehow push. They should somehow work to cultivate effort, but it's not really like that. It's the effort to do again and again, to not stop, to not quit, to not let the mind slip away. Do it again, again, every moment, because it's incessant. And in the beginning it's quite challenging, it's quite tiring. It's something that that trains you in effort to come back again and again to the experience. So that's number three. Number four is udaccha kukuccha. Udaccha kukuccha. Udaccha is restlessness. Kukuccha is worry. They're two different ones, two separate ones. But they both, restlessness and worry, both come from cetaso avupassamo, which means mental disquietude. Upasama means quietude or tranquility. Avupassama means disquietude, when the mind is not quiet. The mind is not focused. The mind is not settled. This one is, I mean, I guess they all have much just to do with time, but this one especially, it's not something you can force. You know, this one especially, people try to force to prevent the mind from thinking, prevent the mind from wandering. This just comes from time as the mind settles down. This is upasama. Eventually the mind settles, it calms down. They give the analogy of a baby cow. When you have a cow and you're trying, an ox, they would train oxen to pull the carts or whatever. So they, in order to train it, they would have to take it away from its mother and tie it up. And the mind would run, the calf would run around wailing and trying to get to its mother, and kind of a cruel practice as an analogy goes, but or in real, but as an analogy, it's this is the mind. We let the mind, you have to let the mind run, but keep a rope on it, keep the rope of mindfulness. So when it does run, be mindful of it. Be aware, this is seeing, this is hearing. Keep the mind on a rope. But you don't, doesn't mean you tie it. It doesn't mean you have to tie it down. You just have to keep it on a rope. And eventually, the mind, like the baby calf, will tire. And it will settle down. Once you don't give it any quarter. For the calming of the mind, there are ways to calm the mind artificially through samatha meditation. But the ultimate quieting of the mind is just cultivating the habit of experiencing the very things that cause distraction, experiencing them with focus, with clarity, without reacting. And in this case, reacting means giving rise to thought about the object. You know, when you see something, rather than judging it and creating all sorts of mental activity about it, learn to just see it, let it go. We're so quick to react to things, no? You maybe see something on the internet and it makes you think, it makes you... You like it or you dislike it, you get incensed by it or you get attracted to it, and you start to think about it. This cultivates restlessness. Once you learn to see things just as they are, your mind becomes tranquil. It's quite simple. This is the cure, this is the cause, and this is the cure. They're quite, you don't have to go looking for genetic or traumatic causes for our problems, even all of our mental illnesses. They all come from simple truths, simple realities. And number five is doubt. Doubt here is, I think, the most interesting in this sutta. Because what is the cause for doubt? The cause for doubt, the Buddha says, is ayoniso manasikara. Now we know these terms, those of you who are familiar with Buddhist terminology. Yoniso manasikaro. Yoniso means to the source or from the source. And manasi, in the mind, karo means to make. What it means is to keep something in mind at its very essence. Keep the essence of something in mind. Ayoniso manasikara means not keeping the essence of things in mind. What it means, I mean, that's an awkward translation. It means seeing things as they truly are, or not seeing things as they truly are, or seeing things carefully or wisely, as it's often translated, or unwisely. The meaning here is that if when you experience something, you don't see it as it is, you're not clearly seeing what's truly there. Yoni means the womb, actually. It's a word that means the womb, but the reason how it's being used is the essence, the very root of the thing. So when you experience pain, if you don't see it as pain, there will arise all sorts of ideas about it. It's my pain. Is it a problem? Is it going to hurt me? Doubt is not the same as disbelieving something. It's not what it means here. Doubt is uncertainty. And uncertainty only arises when you don't see things clearly. Right? Makes sense. So if you want to solve all your uncertainty, you know, what is the right path? Am I doing well? All these questions that meditators have, is this path helping? Is this path good? Any kind of doubt and uncertainty, can I do it? Am I good enough? All of this comes from you're not even asking the right question. You may have questions, am I good, am I right, is this good? The questions themselves are a problem. Questions themselves are an indication of not seeing things clearly. If you saw things clearly, if you saw what was really going on, you wouldn't even ask. These questions and the idea behind the questions wouldn't even arise. They come from not seeing things clearly, because you start to see it in terms of I and me and past and future, and the idea of a meditation technique or practice or meditation center or in terms of your life, you see it as an issue that you have. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Is this right? Is this wrong? When you see things clearly, not only are these questions answered for you because you see whether they're right or wrong, you see the process, but you also give up asking such questions. You don't have any reason to ask. You're too busy living, you know, you're too busy being. Doubt itself and questioning itself it's just a rabbit hole. You go down and you forget. Reality is quite simple. Anyway, so good for us to remember the five hindrances and to think about why they're caused. But ultimately it comes down to to simply practicing insight meditation. As you practice, your mind overcomes all of these. Good to remember all five of them. So because what happens is you'll be practicing properly and think you're progressing, but suddenly it becomes difficult, or not suddenly, gradually it becomes difficult to practice, and you feel like you're stuck, or it's you're doing something wrong. If there's something wrong with your practice, it's based on these five hindrances. And this is where you should look. If the meditation is not progressing smoothly, it's because of all five of these, one or many of these. So that's the Dhamma for this evening. Now let's get into some questions. Have any questions? Are breakups and divorces due to the fading away of attachment or passing away of emotions which are impermanent? Well, there are many causes. I mean, often it's simply because we require new things to please us. if the person in the relationship is not adapting to provide us with new stimuli, we can be attracted to different stimuli, be attracted to a different person and suddenly want to break up because that thing is new. That's how addiction works. The same old becomes less capable of providing pleasure. So we require new stimuli, and the old, same old person isn't going to provide that necessarily. That's a one big reason. Another is the aversion to certain things. When you have pleasant stimuli, you're able to ignore it. But as you as the desire and the pleasure fades away, the displeasure in regards to a person is magnified. As a result, it can become so strong that you desire, or that it's like a switch. At one point, it becomes, tips the scale, and suddenly, rather than loving the person, you hate them. Could you describe the overview of how an online course goes? Right, so an online course you should be doing. Eric, you should go. No, don't listen to others. The online course is, you have to do at least an hour of meditation a day, half walking, half sitting, and by the end of the course we ask you to get up to 2 hours. You require a web camera and a headset. Is working, make sure your earphones are working. Make sure your web camera is working. And then we meet once a week, as per the meeting page. And no, you don't need to take time off work. You need to keep the 5 precepts, so familiarize yourself with them. And try to keep as close to the 8 precepts as you can, not engaging in entertainment, or not sleeping too much, not eating too much, that kind of thing. Bhante, does a newborn baby see seeing as seeing, or is it just a case of not knowing what to call the thing when he already takes his objects and entities? I don't understand. A newborn baby reacts to things that they see.